Good morning. In the preaching and teaching of the apostles, we saw that baptism is essential to salvation, Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, and Acts 22:16. Becoming disciples of Christ, Matthew 28:19-20, and Galatians 3:27. But even when the necessity of baptism has been established, questions often remain. Is baptism to be immersion, pouring, or sprinkling? Should infants be baptized? Is there ever any reason to be rebaptized? This lesson examines the first of these questions: is baptism to be sprinkling, pouring, or immersion? Let's begin by examining the Greek words for baptize and baptism. The words are baptizo and baptisma. Note that the words baptize and baptism are not actually translations of the Greek words. They are transliterations, where Greek letters in a word are simply given their English equivalents. To confirm the actual meaning, we must go to the authorities on the Greek language. The following Greek lexicons define baptize as to immerse, to plunge, or to dip. The Greek-English lexicon of the New Testament, Thayer's, Greek-English Lexicon, 7th edition, Liddell and Scott, and to quote Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, baptism consisting of the process of immersion, submersion, and emergence. Not one standard Greek lexicon defines baptizo as sprinkle or pour. In fact, there are completely different words in Greek for pouring, ekeo, and sprinkling, rantizo. It is important to keep in mind concerning baptize and baptism that they are simply transliterations. They were transliterated instead of translated in our Bibles to avoid offending those who practice pouring or sprinkling. But when translated into English, they can only mean to immerse and immersion. What about modern English dictionaries, though? It is true that they define baptism as sprinkling, pouring, or immersion. But their definitions reflect common usage of words by people today. To know exactly what was meant by Jesus and his disciples, we must consult authorities who define how words were used in biblical times. That, of course, is where Greek lexicons like those referred to are helpful. They define words according to their meaning at the time used in the New Testament. Now let's consider figures of speech used to describe baptism. By Paul in Romans, he describes it in Romans 6:3-4, in baptism we are buried with him into death. Again in verse 5 he says, baptism is a likeness of his death. In Colossians, Paul says, in baptism we are buried with him, in which you are also raised with him. Colossians 2:12. Which action, immersion, pouring, and sprinkling, is a burial, is a likeness of his death, is a likeness of his resurrection? Only immersion, followed by immersion, fits Paul's description of baptism. Paul's use of such figures of speech would make no sense if baptism were either pouring or sprinkling. It is also interesting to note the testimony of various scholars whose denominations practice pouring or sprinkling. In the Episcopalian Church, we have this passage, Romans 6:4, cannot be understood unless it is borne in mind that the primitive baptism was by immersion. That's Conybeare and Housen, Life and Epistles of St. Paul. Baptism means immersion, and it was immersion. Unless it had been so, Paul's analogical argument about how our being buried with Christ in baptism would have had no meaning. Nothing could have been simpler than baptism in its first form. When a convert declared his faith in Christ, he was taken at once to the nearest pool or stream of water and plunged into it, and henceforthward he was recognized as one of the Christian community. Cunningham, The Growth of the Church. Baptism is the grave of the old man and the birth of the new. As he sinks beneath the baptismal waters, the believer buries there all his corrupt affections and past sins. As he emerges, thence he rises regenerate, quickened to new hopes and a new life. This baptism is an image of his participation both in the death and the resurrection of Christ. Bishop Lightfoot, Commentary. In the Methodist Church, we'll read from Adam Clark's commentary on Colossians 2:12, alluding to the immersion practiced in the case of adults, wherein the person appeared to be buried under the water, as Christ was buried in the heart of the earth. His rising again the third day, and their emerging from the water, was an emblem of the resurrection of the body. Then in John Wesley's notes, "We are buried with him," alluding to the ancient manner of baptism by immersion. From the Lutherans, we have the sacrament of baptism was administered in this century, the first, without the public assemblies in places appointed and prepared for that purpose, and was performed by an immersion of the whole body in the baptismal font, Mosheim's Church History. For the explanation of this figurative description of the baptismal rite, it is necessary to call attention to the well-known circumstance that in the early days of the church, persons, when baptized, were first plunged below and then raised above the water. Tholuck, Commentary on Romans. Then, in the Catholic Church, we read, for 1,300 years was baptism an immersion of the person under water. Brenner. Now, how do they reconcile with their denominational practices? Since these scholars and many others admit and affirm that immersion is the only form of baptism taught in the Bible, are they to be charged with dishonesty and insincerity because they practice sprinkling or pouring? Well, not necessarily. Rather, they fall into the fallacy of assuming. Apostolic commands and examples are not binding. Human wisdom may alter specific Bible teaching in what they call rites or customs. But Jesus condemned the religious leaders of his day for making the same mistake. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands?" He answered and said unto them, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit, in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For having laid aside the commandments of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things you do." And he said unto them, "Full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curseth his father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which you have delivered, and many such like things you do." Mark 7:5-13. These men laid aside the commandments of God. They were keeping traditions of men. By keeping certain traditions, they were not keeping the commandments of God. When one practices pouring or sprinkling, they are keeping traditions of men, not the commandments of God. They render the commandment of God to be immersed, baptized, of no effect. Though sincere, one is not necessarily right. We are right only when we do the Father's will. In Matthew 7:21-23, Jesus says, "Not every one that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Love for Jesus will be manifested by keeping his commandments. John 14:15, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Love for God is also manifested in the very same way, 1 John 5:3. Friends, what have we learned? That the Greek words mean immersion. That sprinkling or pouring is inconsistent with the figures of speech used in the Bible to describe baptism. That there is no question immersion was the mode of baptism in the Bible and the early church. As a final confirmation, consider the account of Philip and the eunuch in Acts 8:35-39. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. He baptized or immersed him. They came up out of the water. What of yourself? Was your baptism like that described in Acts 8? If you were sprinkled or had water poured upon you, you were keeping a tradition of man. You've not kept the commandments of God. If you have not been baptized or immersed as commanded by Jesus and his apostles, you are still in your sins, Acts 2:38 and Acts 22:16. You have not yet put on Christ and become his disciple, Galatians 3:27. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16. Friends, if we can help you, please let us know. And we would like to send you a manuscript of this lesson for you to study for yourself. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.